apologize, I'm late a little bit. The Parsha Mishpatim has in itself a chibur with Yisrael. The Ve'ela and the whole world of Dinim Mamonos is, Chazal say, precedes Yisrael before Matan Torah. Yisrael came, and afterwards you have Mishpatim, which is the Hemshech Dinim Mamonos. It's something that I guess we need to understand the Chshivas Adin Mamonos. And I want to focus on a Rashi. Rashi says, Madu ata yoshel vadecha, v'cholom nitzav alecha min boikad arev. So Rashi says over here, min boikad arev, it can't be something that efshaloy mekein, El kol dayan shedon din emes lamitoy, afilo sha'achas, malava kosukil oisi bitor kolayoyim, uki ilu nase shutva kashbroch of my sebracious. So a dayan being done at din emes, which is din imamonis, is something which you nase shutva takarish baruch. It's something, obviously, it's nogea not only to dayonim, it's nogea to every single person who's osek in mamonos. Every person who's in business, every person who's in any type of financial interaction with another person, your decisions as to what you take, what you don't take, are going to fall under this rubric of don din emes lamitoy. If something comes to the Torah, so the dayan decides it. But until that time, a person decides it. What of all the things to pick, I mean, it's important. They're very important halachas. But why of all the dinim, are dinim mamonos a shutif to ma'aseh breishis? And more, like, of all the things, we say, it's a shutif to ma'aseh. He's like, he helped create the world. Really? I mean, what about it? It's a din. And if somebody has a schus of eating kosher, that's not called something that a person is doing a very big mitzvah. I mean, it's a mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. Why be mishatav at Rias Olam? And Chazal learned it from a pasuk mina boika de erev, that it says boika erev vayev boika. Here also says mina erev ara boika. It's a very chance collection of words. It doesn't seem to be anything intrinsically connected, Erev and Baika, Erev and Baika. It's something that leaves us a little bit wondering. I mean, if it's a Gzer Sakosiv of sorts, we'll say that it's a Gzer Shov of some sorts without reason, okay. But it's just two random words, Erev and Baika, Erev and Baika. Another place where Chazal says something about mamonos, that's a little bit matmiha. It says that Yaakov Avinu went back for pachim ktanim. We wouldn't find that to be a very, very noble thing. If you tell somebody he went back in the middle of the night in a dangerous place for a few small schmunzes worth a dollar or two, we wouldn't think it to be extremely a compliment to the person. We'd think it's possibly chisar. So Chazal say that chavivin mamayna shel tzadikim, because it has no gzela. It doesn't have any. It's naki of gzela. They're zoyer in gzela. So let's try to figure it out. Imagine you see somebody who's supposed to be a very big tzaddik, and he has a plate of meat this thick, and he's sitting and digging really hard and going through layer after layer. And you ask, Hayitachen? He says, the meat's very chavav to me because it's very glat kosher. I was menaker it well, and I salted it well, and I made sure the shechita was mehuder, and everything else, and that's why it's so chavav on me. I don't think people here would take that as being a tremendous act of sitkis. Yes, if a person is maneh himself from eating a kezayis of meat because of chashash, we would see it as being something chashav. But the fact that somebody is indulging because he wasn't even avera, I mean, not being even avera doesn't make it chashav. So why do we associate the chvivus of tzaddikim and the to mamonos, because it's naki from gzela? it's still okay. So there's no chas kzeges on it. It's not a midah teiva. One of the things that dayanim have to be is somebody who's a seini betza, someone who doesn't like money, so or doesn't particularly care for it. So why Yaakov Avinu going back for a few pachim tanim, Chazal called pachim tanim, is considered to be very, very noble because there was no such gezel, and that's why it's chaviv on him. Those are two nekudas I'd like to address and think about. So I want to go back to Ma'aseh Breishis. Since Chazal over here compare it to Ma'aseh Breishis, and they say the Arva Vaikas, so let's go back to Ma'aseh Breishis and understand two very fundamental activities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. The first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the Bria was he created a world yesh me'ayin. The world did not exist, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into existence a world. And that's an act of doing something positive and bringing something positive into the world. Can we imitate that? Can we do something similar to that? The answer is a pale shadow of it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Yesh Me'ayin, I can give people Matnas Chinam. I can give people Tzedakah. I can give people things for no reason. But that's a pale reflection of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. I can never really take Yesh Me'ayin. I can't take something where nothing existed. I have a limited amount of goods to give away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an infinite amount, and it came Yesh Me'ayin. So Olam Chesed Yibane is a type of activity that is... It reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of chesed in creating a world, our personal chesed, but it's limited. It's somewhat like it. There's another act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is no less important in Bria's Olam. It says that the Shemayim were nimtachim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Dai." And he stopped it. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there should be a Rukia, there should be a Shemayim, it was infinite. It kept going. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a line and he said, up to here and no further. It says also in Breishis Bara, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says B'siyatzik Vulis Amim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made the world, put down boundaries for nations, and Klal Yisrael has Eretz Yisrael, and that's why there's Eretz Yisrael, because from Breishis itself, there was Behan Chal Yigoyim, B'siyatzik Vulis Amim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed boundaries for the world, and that's where everything it found its place. Meaning the following: the world exists because there are things in the world and because there are boundaries in the world. Those are the two critical ingredients of what allows a world to exist. Let's take an example. In the Dor HaMabul, Gvulos ceased to exist. Things stopped having boundaries in two primary areas. One is Arayus. Arayus is a koach of creating, of reaching out, and it requires very, very strong gvulos. And if you don't have boundaries, it's destructive. The koach of Arayus within very strong discipline creates a family, which is the source of life and people. Arayus, without a boundary, becomes havoc. It becomes a churban, the Bria. It says that they chamas. It means boundaries in terms of money, which is the second most important area for boundaries, cease to exist. The Gemara says Chazal say, how did they steal by the marble? They would knock over something, and everybody would take a parch mishava pruta. So a parch mishava pruta is not something that anyone has any real hanoah from. I don't know, a slice of cucumber or whatever it is. But what I do with it is I erase the sense of boundary. And because nobody can say not. Nobody can say that's not, you know, you can't take. The churban of the marble was, it flooded. When you take a living cell and you deny it water, like when you heat it or you dry it, it shrivels up and it stops living because it doesn't have water and it can't live without water. When you inundate it with too much water, it bursts because and the contents remain, but they get spilled all over. And a cell that doesn't have its boundaries, it doesn't have its membrane, its outer membrane, which is its boundary, also ceases to exist. So in order to exist, there are things you need, and there are gvulois, and there are boundaries that need to contain it in order for it to exist. So in Maisa Bracious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put two things into place. You can call it different lashonos, you can call it Mirsa Ches and Mirsa Din, but the definition we're giving fits the picture a lot better. The first boundary HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the Bria is Erev and Voker. Vayerev, Vayvoker, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, and so on. In other words, the first place HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Yehi Or, and then there was a Vayavdel, and Vayavdel created a boundary, and he therefore called this Vayerev, Vayvoker, Yom Echad. Another place where this is used in the same sense is by the by Korach. It says that he wanted to do avoda. He wanted to be a kohen, and the Chazal say boker and yer Hashem. And it says that just like you can't erase the boundaries of boker and erev, you can't erase the boundaries between kohen and Yisrael and so on. So we have in the Bria itself two forces that are absolutely necessary for creation to exist, for things to exist. One is a Pahazad Metzias, and one are boundaries. The boundaries of Arayas are boundaries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu primarily sets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is Asa, this is Muta, this has this condition, this has that condition. Okay, those are those boundaries. In Mamonis, we have the ability to set those boundaries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to participate in the world of Mamonis, and we become the ones that set the Gvulois. Bezdin is machria. Who owns something? What belongs to whom? Whose object is this? It's not just a way to allow commerce to flow and things to happen easily. It's something that goes to the very heart of the Bria, which is imposing the boundaries of ownership. And when a person deals with Dini Mamonis, and a person makes those boundaries, the person is doing something fundamental to the Bria. He's bringing into the Bria Gvulois, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to us. And that's the sense of being a Shutev Maisa Bracious. So when Chazal say that somebody's done Din Emes La'amito, the person is imposing, he's becoming a shutif to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bracious, because it says Me'aboker Erev, and it says here Vayev Revoker. That's exactly what we mean. We mean that the person becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agent for deciding what's his, what's mine, and what's someone else's. I'd like to give some thought to this idea, because in life, as we go along, Bein Adam LaMakom, most things are pretty set for us. What's kosher and what's not kosher is decided by someone giving a heksher. And if you live in a society where everybody eats only this heksher, that heksher, other heksher, those heksherim, we'll pretty much follow along with it. You have to really sort of break the line. You have to sort of make a conscious decision to move out of line in order to do something wrong. Same thing in other areas also. At least what's overtly recognized, what people see, we sort of have, we flow with a certain flow, and that's that. The one area that nobody knows, and nobody can really, and we don't have any labels on it, are financial dealings. For the vast majority of us, that's going, for everyone, everyone will have financial dealings of some sort. People will rent houses, buy food, rent cars, buy cars, sell cars. We're all going to have financial interaction with people and dealings with people. And for some of us, for most of us probably, that'll become our livelihood. Our whole day will be usuk with it. There is nobody in the world that's going to put a label on it. Kosher money, not kosher money, rightfully yours, not rightfully yours. A, nobody knows, nobody sees. Money has no smell. Nobody knows what goes on. And it's between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very hard to face a nisayon of not doing something. People don't deal well with refraining from doing something wrong. Because if the attitude is we're refraining from doing something wrong, then I'm not gaining anything by withholding. If it's a question of money, so our only shaila, even if we're very frum and we're very erlich, we'll ask ourselves: is it usser or is it not usser? Because it's the only value we attach to it is so even for very Yirei Shemayim, our attitude will be, is it usser? And if it's not usser, then great. What's the problem? So it's b'dieved, not b'dieved, fine. The problem is we need to undergo a paradigm shift. We need to undergo a change in how we look at our relationship to money. And again, the normal approach it is a person gains a lot from whatever he has. Owning, having money and goods makes you important, makes you chashev, makes you successful, or it's a mark of success. So the only thing is, I have to keep away from things that are not beseder. That's the maximum we expect of ourselves. We don't think of it in any other way. But if a person were to say to himself that the one area in life that I can become a full shut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much stock as I'll ever give and as many hours I'll ever spend helping somebody, I'm a very, very pale imitation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zanes HaKoil, and I put down a roll on the table, two rolls, ten rolls, but that's it. In the area of creating ownership, mine, yours, his, theirs, my word becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chaluk of the Bria. The Bria stands on what exists and stands on the boundaries. And putting the boundaries in place is as important to the Bria as giving existence to what lies in the boundaries. And the one who makes it primarily, who gives those boundaries, is a person. So when a person says in Chazal over here, the Gemara says that if you mafsid people in Vadayan's mafsid somebody mamanis, he's mafsid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to retain his gvulis that he wanted, but you'll force him to go chutz min ashura. If a person's perspective on his interaction with Mamanis is and should be that I have the ability to set those boundaries in the Bria. It's not a question of, can I get away with it? You know, is it okay if I keep it? The question is, what's right? What's the dan din emes lamitoi? The one place, more than any place else, that I will have an assign with emes is in this area. And I'm not talking, I mean, I don't. Very few of us will have the nisayon of lying in a bezin. I mean, yes, maybe we'll tell a tall tale about how big of a fish we caught. That's maybe not emes, maybe it is emes. That's a minor example of it. But where is the one place that we become a shut of an emes? And it's done din emes la mitoy. It's when a person puts down he's able to look at money and say, technically I can keep it, but it's rightfully yours. You were the first person in and the second person in. I'll tell you a story somebody told me. It was somebody, he learned person in Shiva for a while, and he's a Rosh Kohel someplace. And somebody offered, a wealthy man in the community where Zeresh Kail offered a matching that anybody that, you know, gives money from now till X time, they'll have a matching, he'll match it. He got a donation for $7,000 from somebody, this is Zeresh Kail, but the person had already told him before that he intends, before this matching thing came up, that he intends to give him an amount, a sum hagun. So this Gvir found out, and I said, oh, now I'll match his 7,000. I said, no, this 7,000 he told me before that he intends to give it, so it doesn't belong to your matching. The Gvir was nishtoimim. He'd never ever seen an example of such yashrus. And you know, he said, you're the first person that didn't tell me I owe more money. And this, we're talking about staka. You know, so yes, money can go for good things and can do good things with it. But when a person puts down an akud of emes, he's brought a chiluk of a lakus into the bria. And a person deals the Indian out in business, and people say, you know, it's this. If God exists, then His halachas exist, and His dinim exist, and they cut straight through everything. That's an incredible ability to bring our Kadosh Baruch Hu as a real entity into the bria, and we have it. It's the when it says by Yaakov Avinu that it was chaviv for him, because there's nizifam gzela. I gave a terrible mushel in my kasha. Meat, there's nothing. When I kasha the meat, what I did is I removed the issa dam, I removed the issa chaylev, I removed the issa giranasha. That's all I did with it. When I kaveya that a penny that I worked for didn't belongs to me, I put a gvul down on the bria. The coin stands up and says it belongs to me. That's what the coin says. Because that became the chalois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's being mechel. The gvul is on the bria, who says that this is b'siyazik b'lis am, this is mine. So, and if it's mine, it has a designation. Nothing is hefka. Not my coin, not his coin. Because we're dealing with a very different type of reality than a person. Beseda, money is money, likes money, and you know, it's just a question of staying away from Yisur. So Mishpatim is probably for us in its klolius the most important aspect of our Avodas Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Shem Shabbos, unless a person makes a terrible decision to go out of the pale, will be Shomer Shabbos. Better, worse, there's plenty to improve in the quality and so on, but Baruch Hashem, that's set. It's noticeable. You can define it. It's set for you. Same thing is true with kosher, same thing is true with most Yisrael Arayas and so on. Things are pretty set, and because we are born from, or because we are from, we follow along a certain pattern, and it's good, it's wonderful, we do it, we get schar, but it's hard to say that it's something we accomplish. And giving tzedakah, yes, it's great and it's important, but at the end of the day, it's a pale imitation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nesina. There's one area that Chazal tell us we're equal. Let me give you a mashal of what it means to be equal, and just understand it in logic. If I draw a line that's 1 foot long, 1 meter long, and someone else draws a line that's a centimeter long, it's 1/100th of the line. It's not the same. It's a proportion of it. But if I draw an angle, a 45 degree angle, and I'm talking about where the angle starts over here, and there's maybe a millimeter between the two legs of the angle, or it's out in space and there's a million miles between it, it's 45 degrees. Because 45 degrees is a proportion. It's a cut. It's not an absolute amount, but it's a certain cut of something. Chesed, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives in the Bria, that's measured in absolute value. And that is nowhere in the world we could compete to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do in our world. It's wonderful, but that's it. When you're cutting gvulos, whether the gvul is negea, $1 or $100 or $1 million, it makes no difference. It's the same sense, mine, yours, his, is the same whether it's a din pruta or din meya. You become a shutif to Maisa Kadosh Baruch Hu if you run to pay the guy at the end of the day his schiris, if it's 10 shekel for putting a button on your sweater, or if you're paying off a contract a few $100,000 for finishing up whatever it is, if the chiv is there. It's the same. Same biyomitid and schari. If I'm to be done on what's mine, right? I'm a neighbor with somebody. I'm using this. I am building. I have the right to build. I don't have the right to build. I was told a story. My father, Zechen Vracha, was the Mir of Shiva, and one of the first constructions, one of the very few that my father actually was engaged in, involved. Reb Nachum wasn't well, and they needed to move his apartment up to the base medrash landing. So I was privileged that my dorm room went into that apartment, and they made the apartment. The hallway was extremely weird. It was set up in a very weird way. And I asked my father, and I said, why don't you just make straight? You know, just make the hallway straight, and that's it. So he told me, because he was cheshish, that the area that people had used to go to the bathroom is a meitzah shechzik by rabbim, and you couldn't use it, al pi din. So I told him, but it's a lot more convenient for everybody. So he said, it certainly is, but there's a halach in the way. And that's it. He said, you know, it's convenient, it's cheaper, everything, no arguing. But there's a din. And that's it. Over here, you can't build. And you know, it was a ton of rocks standing there. It's the nisayon of life. I once heard this. I think it was from one of Aaron Cutler's grandchildren, if I'm not mistaken. His son, Reb Shneya, learned in Europe. Reb Aaron had gone to America to collect or whatever. And he was learning in Baranovich. And he went to a Slonimah Tish, to the Slonimah Rebbe, 3 Slonimah Rebbes ago, 4 Slonimah Rebbes ago. And he was very taken, Reb Shneya was very taken by him. He was Adam Choshevat Moed. And he wrote his father a letter. I was by Rebbe's Tish, and I was very taken by him. He's an Adam Gadol Moed, Adam Chashev Moed, a big tzaddik, maybe he said. And Rav Aaron Cutler sent him back, not in a derogatory way. He said, tzidkus is measured by how a person deals in mamonis. He didn't mean chasron to imply there was any problem. He was just saying, it's not how long the krishma is. It's not how long, you know, how many pairs of film. It's when it comes dollar for dollar, if the person can cut the line the way it's supposed to be, that's a measure of a tzidkus. And it's a measure of tzidkus in his sign is very hard, because it's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very easy to fool yourself. And it's very, very important, because it's the only area that you actually become a shutev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your pe'ula becomes a chelak of my sevreishes. So the Torah brings Mishpatim as the first hemshech from Aseres HaDibros, because that's the most relevant one, and the one that we need to understand, that this is Guf HaTorah. We should be zeicher in the schus of being oisik mishpatim, and it's one of the inyanim of learning mesechtes that a person becomes identified with. So even though nominally we learn nashim zikin yeshivas because it's the mesechtes where we have an easy time to get a sense of iyun, but oisik in these inyanim, it's a school, and a person understands the chshivas of dinim mamonis and how much dinim mamonis is for our generation, for sure, the nisayon of our generation. Understand the chshivas of it, we be zeicher in each in his own life, be zeicher to become a shutif to the Maisa Bereishis.